Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians. I want to read two short passages from that book. They are separated. One in the first chapter, verses 6 through 9, and the second one will be in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. So if you have your Bibles, turn to those, and I'll read chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 first. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you've received, let him be accursed. Now turn to chapter 3, if you will, and we'll look at the first 6 verses. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, we've read in your word the instruction you've given us to believe that we are justified by faith. Now, Father, as we consider what was written on this page, help us to consider what's going on in our hearts and in the hearts of those around us. Do we truly trust you with our eternal salvation by the blood of Jesus alone? Or are we tempted to add to that and thereby adulterate your precious gospel? Open our hearts, Lord. Make us aware of what's going on around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On his first missionary journey, Paul went into what is now Turkey, and he established at least 4 churches there, Derbe and Lystra, Iconium, and the Antioch of Pisidia. And these people were somewhat different to the ones he had normally been witnessing to. And they came out of a very pagan background, but they willingly believed in Christ as Paul taught there. And he went back and visited them again on his second missionary journey. And sometime later, apparently, there was a group of Judaizers. Judaizers were people who were very strict Jews. They claimed to be Christians, and I'm assuming they were, but they could not let go of that Jewish tradition of holding on to the law and all the ceremonies and the liturgy, and even to the point of circumcision for the male converts. In other words, they said, yes, believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior, but this must be done, and this must be done, and this must be done. And if you read the epistles that Paul wrote very much, you'll find out that this Galatian letter is a hard letter. It's the only one he ever wrote that he didn't have at least some commendation for the people. He starts right off here at the first with a very harsh attitude. And I'm not going to try to be humorous, but he has a tremendous amount of sarcasm in this, which I'll point out in a moment. And then in that third chapter that we'll look at next, he really gets down to the heart of the matter. So let's look again at verse 6 in chapter 1. See if you can pick up some of this sarcasm. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. What is the gospel? It is so simple that many people trip over it. Many people want to add to it because it just seems so simple. I think men are worse about that than women are. We want to make something bigger than it is. We want to complicate it. We'd like it to be where if someone saw us solving that problem, they'd think, oh, he solved a very difficult problem, when really most of them are pretty simple, if we just read the instructions. And this is the instruction book, isn't it? The gospel is so simple. Jesus Christ came submitted to the will of his Father and came to this earth, died on a cross for our sin and was resurrected. And through the hope we have and the trust in him, we are justified, made righteous because of the blood of Christ. Isn't it very simple? And yet, these people were tempted to add to it, and we are too, and we'll see how in just a moment. He says, you've fallen away so quickly from that gospel, that gospel of grace in Christ. That gospel, a different one, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. You see, I get from that they were somewhat troubled when these Judaizers came to them, but the Judaizers won out, and they began to believe in what they were teaching them, that yes, maybe we should follow after the law of the Jews. After all, Jesus was a Jew, and perhaps he would like for us to follow after those things. Does that happen today? You bet it does. You bet it does. It happens in denominations. It happens in different sects and different isms that you see out there, and it creeps in so subtly that you don't recognize it until it's already a part of your belief system. We don't watch a lot of TV at our house, but we try to pick good TV, Duck Dynasty and other uplifting things, you know. And the other night, I can't remember whether it was on the History or Discovery Channel, they advertised this show, and perhaps you caught a little of it, I don't know, Snake Salvation. Any of you see that? I noted it as they had the trailer for it, and I thought, told Donna, I said, I'm going to watch some of that. I knew what they were doing, but I just wanted to see how they would portray it to the nation. And it fell in exactly in line with what I was going to speak about tonight. That some groups of people have taken a scripture that Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, to where you can throw out demons, you can do this, you can do that, you can even take up serpents and not be harmed by them. And they've built a whole religion around that. So I listened closely as I watched that show, and one of those young pastors said, if I didn't believe this, meaning those verses from Mark chapter 16, if I didn't believe this, he said, those are the words of Jesus in red. If I didn't believe this, I'd die and go to hell. That's what their pastor said. So he had taken the blood of Jesus, who died on the cross for his sin, and he had added to it that it would be absolutely necessary to exercise his faith by handling snakes, or his faith would be worthless, and if he died, he'd go to hell. You see how easily those things creep in? Now, for more mainstream people, let's look at some of the groups around you that you perhaps know. I know several different groups, people that I've talked with over the years, that believe things that are added to the gospel. I know some precious people, and I just think the world of them, that believe if you're not baptized, you will not go to heaven. That you can get saved, and if you don't get baptized, you won't go to heaven. One of them is a pretty close friend of mine, and he and I, we banter about this sometimes. And one time I said, well, you know, if I was a lost guy and I came to your church, I better bring some extra clothes, right? And he said, that's right, because you will be baptized before you leave that service if you're saved. Now, I will admit that as Baptists, oftentimes we do separate the salvation experience with the baptism perhaps too far. But I'm telling you, folks, when you add anything to the grace gospel of Jesus Christ, you're making it a works salvation. And God's word says you can do nothing to save yourself. You can do nothing. And then I have some Catholic brothers and sisters that I just love dearly. They're always picking at me about certain things. I was in one's presence here a while back, and I was somewhat ill, and he said, well, if you wasn't a Baptist, I'd just tell you to drink a couple of glasses of wine and it would just fix exactly what's wrong with you. But anyway, my Catholic brothers and sisters, like my Jehovah's Witness friends, they think that you can work your way into heaven. And I pick at them, and I tell them, well, you're making payments on a mansion, aren't you? Yeah, got to work, got to do things. I've got to perform. I have got to be a performance-oriented person to get into heaven. There's a dear lady I know that lives not far from me, and she's Jehovah's Witness. And I mean one of the sweetest ladies I'd ever known. It breaks my heart to know that when I ask her if Jesus Christ has saved her from her sin, and she says no. He was such a great man, such a great prophet of God, such a great teacher, but it's through her works. She will die and go to hell if she does not believe in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Paul said, these guys have come along and they've tricked you. They fooled you into believing that you've got to do something to be saved. And he's pretty harsh with them here. Look at what he says, and I think he's using a little hyperbole here. Verse 8 says, but even if we are an angel from heaven, some say, well, my, is he putting himself up on the level of an angel of heaven? No, he's saying this so that it would just seem fantastic if this were to happen. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, now this is harsh language, let him be accursed. Paul put that down on such a level that this is a horrible, horrible sin to do this. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you've received, let him be accursed. Folks, when you put it like that, and you see some of the things that go on in our world today, there's a fine line here that we walk about adding to and taking away the gospel of Christ. Now turn over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. Paul asks 6 questions in these 6 verses. They are all what we call rhetorical questions. He doesn't expect an answer from them. They're the kind of question that you ask your child or grandchild sometimes when you say, why'd you do that? You don't really want to know. You're accusing them of doing it, and you just want them to know that you're accusing them of it. He starts out and says, oh, foolish Galatians. Now, being foolish doesn't mean that you're mentally challenged, and it doesn't mean that you're really ignorant. It means that you're not making good use of what you have. You're not using your noggin. That's what my daddy used to say. He said, son, use your noggin. Think for a moment. Think. Think. He says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Now that word clearly portrayed there is a word that we need to emphasize more today. In our world, we have so much information and what do they call it, the 24-hour news cycle. What was popular yesterday is dead and gone now, and so much comes in and out. But in the day in which Paul wrote this, and even in an earlier day here in our country before there was all this media and stuff, when you needed to get a notification out to someone, you would either print it or write it on a piece of board or a piece of paper, and you would nail it up in a place where people passed by. And they would see it. Have you ever seen an old movie where someone would come along and post something and a crowd would gather around to read it? That's the kind of language Paul is talking about here. This is not some little secret cult that has originated down there in Judea. This is a proclamation made by God. It is posted worldwide. It's portrayed among you, Jesus as crucified. In other words, there's no doubt about that. Even the world understands that Jesus was crucified. Verse 2 says, this only I want to learn from you. Look at this next question. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Obviously, they received by the hearing of faith. Hearing is what we use to reach out, or God uses to reach out to us. Without the hearing, and you know the scripture, how are we going to know if someone doesn't come and speak to us? You've got to hear. You have to hear the word of God. You hear it either by reading it and it comes into your mind, or someone tells you about Christ. That's how the Spirit comes into your heart. And he said, did you receive that by works of the law? Of course, absolutely not. You know how Paul feels about the law. All the law does is show you what you did wrong. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right. But we are so bound by rules and regulations oftentimes that we look for a way out of grace. We'd rather do it ourselves and do it right and be a good little boy and a good little girl in God's eyes. Folks, that's not the way God works. You cannot be good enough. You cannot earn salvation. You cannot add to the grace of the shed blood of Jesus Christ to save you. There is no way on earth. Did you do it by faith or did you do it by works? Are you so foolish? Again, he emphasizes this being foolish. Paul is, I get the impression he's pretty much had it with these folks. They have taken what he's given them and they've adulterated it with something else. They've added to it. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? What a foolish thing that would be, to think that God through his Holy Spirit can justify us by faith in him. And he does. He makes us righteous. We don't have anything to do with that. And then how audacious of us to turn around and then say, well, God, I'm going to take what you've given me and I'm going to add to it with my own good works. I'm going to add to it with my own inner self that I have. See, that's the way the world teaches us today. As far as I know, we don't have any Judaizers. I never have met one. I've never met a one that's a true Judaizer. So this problem that they had is one we don't have. But we have others like them, don't we? Have you ever heard this? Well, that's okay for you to believe, Pastor, but I believe there's multiple ways to get to God. He is so good. He is so good. And it's okay, you believe what you believe, but I'm going to believe what I believe. You ever heard that? Sure, you hear that all the time. You hear that all the time. Or you'll hear this when you try to witness to someone. Well, I know so-and-so down at your church, and I'm just as good as they are. I'm just as good as they are. Or you'll have one of your youth that goes to a party, a teenage party somewhere, and they are faced with this all the time. Some of the other kids will say, well, why don't you do this or do that? So-and-so down at your church does this or does that. You see, adding to, modifying, changing it so it makes it easier, supposedly, to live the Christian life. Adding to it, making it easier. Paul says, are you so foolish that you began in the Spirit, you trusted Christ to save your miserable soul with his shed blood, and then you want to pick yourself up and say, well, I'll do this, and it'll make it all better. How about this one for transferring the grace and justification of God? How about those folks that believe you can be saved and then you can lose that salvation? Yeah, that's adding to it, isn't it? Oh, I trusted Jesus a long time ago to save me, but I've backslidden and there's just no hope for me. There's just no hope for me. You know, I've sinned and if I die, I'm going to go to hell. Is that what you think of the blood of Christ, that every time you sin, you have to crucify him again because you've lost and fallen into hell and you have to be brought back out? Jesus only died one time. He died once for all. His sin covers every sin that has been committed and will be committed if we only trust him. You see, what we're talking about here is not apostasy. Apostasy is where you profess to believe and then you just fall away. You know, you never come back. This is professing to believe and then staying in the middle of what we call religion, which I don't like much, religion. But we stay in that and we want to modify it to where it fits our lifestyle so that we're comfortable in it. You know, in a small way, I guess you'd say a small way, that's why there aren't as many here this evening as there was this morning. Isn't that right? And that's why there'll be probably even fewer on Wednesday night. I hope you're planning to come. But anyway, you see, in a small way, because of other things that creep into our life, you know, that, well, it's okay that so-and-so's playing or this and that's going on or I'm tired or whatever. No, God's people are gathered in God's house to worship his name and to pray and uplift each other as God's word lifts them up, and you need to be here. But we let these little things just creep in, don't we? Just creep in. Now, I know a lot of that, as far as church attendance, is how you were raised, or the lack of your raising. But it is very, very evident. Now, look at the rest of these things that happen. Look at verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. This word suffered means the experiences that you have. It doesn't necessarily mean hardship or pain. It just means the experience. Have you gone through these things? Have you gone through this salvation experience with Christ? And was it real? It wasn't in vain, was it? Was it real? And if it was real, look at verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Anyone who experienced first century apostolic miracles would understand and surely know that that was by the power of God's Spirit. It was not by some kind of works of the law. Absolutely. And that's what he's telling them here. You were not saved, you were not justified, and you're not kept by anything that you did. It was by the grace of God. And then, of course, in that last verse, he uses the example of Abraham. Great words from the other part of the scripture. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Where does righteousness come from? It doesn't come from us. It comes from God. We need to be more like him. In order to be more like him, we need to know more about what he's like. I don't know if it's true or not, because you know preachers get all kinds of stories, but I think it's true. I was told one time that by someone that's supposed to know that when FBI agents are assigned to the counterfeit division, that they go to school for a long, 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 long time to learn about counterfeit currency. And when this person began to tell this, I thought, well, boy, they must have a lot of examples to see and learn how that stuff looks, you know. And he went on to say that they don't ever look at counterfeit money. They don't ever look at it. For weeks on end, they study the real thing. They take fives and tens and twenties and fifties and $100 bills, and they study the quality of the linen that it's made out of, the ink that's used, the colors of the ink, the watermarks in that paper, every detail about that money. Things that you and I don't even know about. And they study it, and they study it until they're sick of studying it. The front, the back, the thickness, the feel, everything about it. And you know why they do that? Because after they've done that, it is not a problem at all to recognize the counterfeit. Anything that's not that just jumps at them. They don't have to be studying counterfeit stuff. All they got to do is study the real thing. And when they know the real thing deep down inside of them, the counterfeit jumps out and they say, no, that's not the real thing. Well, folks, this is the real thing right here. And anything that Oprah adds to it, or even Dr. Phil or anybody else, or Presbyterians or Methodists or Baptists or anybody else adds to this, it's not the real thing. So what are you going to do? I've heard Brother Booney say this, and I say it to you. You don't believe me. You believe this word. Don't you believe what a preacher says and go home and say, oh, he blah, blah. No, it may not be right. You read this, and when you read this over and over and over again until, like those agents, it is burned into your heart. When you have a Mormon ride up on a bicycle, you say, I got him now. I got him now. Come on in, son. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about my Savior. Or when they come up peddling the watchtower, those precious ladies and men, don't run them off with a fly swatter. Say, y'all, come on in. Let me get my Bible. Y'all just leave yours out there and let's just read out of mine. And they will run. They will run like a skunk in the well house to run you off. They don't want to be around that. So trust in the true word of God. There is only one gospel. There is only one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, if you're here tonight and you've been tricked by something else, tonight would be a good time to get that straightened out. All you have to do is believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior. If his Spirit's calling you right now, I'm going to pray in a moment, and then we're going to have a word of invitation, and I'll be down here. And I want you to come down and make that right with God. And if you're here tonight and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then wherever you're standing, you pray that God's Holy Spirit will give you the gumption, that's an old country word, to know what's right and to know what's wrong when you go out these doors and out into this world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. And I thank you so long ago for a man like Paul who was so filled with your Spirit that he was brave enough to stand up against these people who were blaspheming your word. But Lord, we know that that same Spirit that indwelled him is here in this room tonight, and that the power of that precious Spirit is able and willing and will guide us through. Help us, Lord, to recognize when anyone or any group comes our way and has adulterated this precious gospel by adding to it, by modifying it, by changing it, even in the least little bit. Help us to recognize that and then stand on the truth. Be bold enough to stand on the truth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray.